God. Well, hallelujah. And the prize next week, if you don't crack a smile, will be an effigy of Eeyore. Hallelujah. We certainly still got a few Eeyores in the church, not enough Tiggers. Can you say amen? Anybody feel like bouncing this morning? Well, go on then. Stuck up bunch. Jeez. Hallelujah. Well, it's nice to see everybody. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, or at least in Neighborhood Road. And, wow, that was lame. Even I thought that was lame. That was terrible. Let me just rewind. Good morning, everybody. And, okay. I've got a lot to share this morning. I've got too many sermons and too many testimonies. So we'll try and start just with the testimonies. I want to just bring you up to speed a little bit on, you know, what's been going on in my life since. I wonder what I did with it. Interesting. What's been going on with me as far as, I guess I've been traveling a lot. I've just come back from Tampa, Florida. But before that, we want to announce that Wendy and I have another grandson. Hallelujah. And his name in English is Carter. In New Yorkese, it's Carter. English sounds better. This is Carter. And his middle name is Stephen, which is a family name, spelt with a PH. And so we can afford the extra letters. Well, I've been sowing the word for a long time. Now, that was a better joke. Oh, come on. Now Lord, deliver me from Eeyores. So I've been sowing the word a long time. I thought it was pretty clever. But anyway. So the little fella was born on Tuesday. And unfortunately, I wasn't around. I was in Tampa, Florida. But I thought it was a beautiful thing. Wendy was up there with the girls visiting on when was the baby born? Was born on Tuesday. I came back Wednesday. So I'm stuck in some airport somewhere trying to get back. My flight was to Newburgh. And so these girls are up visiting in Albany. So I went up to the desk and said, look, my grandson's just been born in Albany. Can I change my flight? They said, sure. So I flew up to Albany and Wendy picked me up there. And so I thought that was a lovely thing because, you know, normally they won't change your flights, all kinds of regulations. And a minor detail, of course, my suitcase ends up in Newburgh. But then my buddy Bob Iannuso lives there, so he picked it up for me. And so all things work together for good. And I want to encourage you in that, you know, all these things happen because of people. You have a need in your life, it's because you don't have enough people in your life. Oh, yeah. The reason Jesus Christ died was to bring many sons to glory. God doesn't have enough people in his family. That's why he wants more people. So anyway, we just had a mention about Tim. Now, Tim and Gentry left for India in February. They were supposed to be there for 3 or 4 months. I can't remember how long they were supposed to be there. When they decided to stay, so they're going to be there for at least a year, so please keep them in prayer. I'd just like to remind you that their little princess, Mariah, will be 2 in July. So just think about that. If your children in your own mind are holding you back from serving God, please get a big spiritual eraser and erase it from your mind. My little daughter, you know, Ashley, I mean, she's a little peanut, right? Ashley, the baby born on Tuesday. Friday, she takes her son to school, takes the baby with her because she wanted to show the children in school the newborn baby. Now, I'm saying that, and she's, of course, in church this morning up there in Saugerties. I'd like to remind you that babies do not restrict you. I don't know where you got that in your head. Because the Bible clearly calls them a reward for the Lord. So if they're a reward from the Lord, how can they restrict you? Don't treat your children like they've got to be wrapped in cotton balls. I'm telling you, the more you smother them, I know you call it mothering, but I call it smothering. The more you smother them, the worst they're going to find when they realize that life ain't fair, hallelujah, and you need to be making them from the very beginning train up a child in the way they should go. You should train up a child. I just heard one of the worst one-liners in my life. It's this. Children obey their teachers better than their parents. I thought, I want to hit somebody. And it's not a teacher. It's the parents that said amen to that. Come on, folks. My kids didn't obey their teachers better than they obeyed me. My kids didn't obey their teachers better than they obeyed Wendy. Train up a child, hallelujah. And I did. I want to encourage you to think about these things. If we are thinking that the teacher's responsibility to teach our children obedience, you see, shouldn't, what do you want to go here? I just came back from Tampa, Florida. Awesome guy. Who remembers Paco from the, right? Paco and his lovely wife. She's a wonderful name, Ceci. Wonderful girl, born in Chicago, of Puerto Rican family. Just a wonderful. She's also expecting, praise God. And they've got a little child going through the terrific twos. And I can't get over how parents say, if you don't stop that, I'm going to discipline you. If you don't stop that, I'm going to discipline you. If you don't stop that, I'm going to discipline. You know what you're doing? You're training your children to be disobedient. You're training your children to have no value in words, which is the only thing that's going to save them. So these things are amazing to me. You know, the first thing you should ever do for your children is teach them to count. You don't have to teach them past three. I never got past two. Now, this may say, but I want to tell you something. You know, all my children are in church. I've got one in India serving God full time, Alice. I've got Sarah making plans to serve God full time. I can't share with you yet. I've got Grace making plans that I can't share with you yet. But I'm saying this is because they learnt the value of words and who is saying it. So it makes no sense to me as soon as a child disregards what you say, you are training them for disobedience. Now, I wasn't going to teach this morning, but that one-liner just got straight up my hooter. Hallelujah. And if you don't know what a hooter is, it's this. And so I just want to encourage you. Some of you, you may think it's too late. You've got to get your children into the realms of obedience. And as things are getting, if they can't obey your audible voice, how on earth do you think they're going to obey God's less clear voice? Anyway, let's change the subject. I can't. So anyway, please pray for Alice. Alice and Abraham, he's got a job that he's working 6 days a week at the moment. Thank God. Get him out there. Get busy, man. He's got that full-time job. Alice is doing wonderful. If anybody's her Facebook friend, you really should keep reading her reports. The other day she said she was doing some medical outreach and then also went to three different schools. This is all coming from the new church she's part of. The church she's part of is actually run by the man who runs all of Joyce Meyer's ministry in Asia. Now, Joyce Meyer's ministry in Asia is based in Hyderabad, where Alice lives. And the guy that's been running that for 20-something years started a church about 4 years ago, and there's now about 1,000 people in it. And it's an English-speaking congregation, obviously a lot of Indians, but there is a lot of Africans in it, hallelujah. And there's a splattering of, you know, Americans and English and Australians and South Africans and all that. It's a wonderful church. Alice is already on the worship team. So I just want you to keep her in prayer, because there's lots of things and avenues that are going to happen. So, talking about India, we heard from Pastor Don Fisher in Pinehouse Lake in northern Saskatchewan. If you're not on his, please try and friend him on Facebook. Pastor is Donald Fisher, because he really is doing an amazing work. He's up in the middle of nowhere, literally, and he's in a town that 11 or 12 years ago had a sovereign revival. 500 people got saved at the time in a village of 800 people. And about 440 of them are backslidden. So he's going door to door. He's knocking on doors. He's going in there. He's drinking tea. He's speaking. He's speaking to those who were part of that church. And also, of course, most everybody in northern Canada, you may not know, is Catholic. I don't know if you know that. But they mix their Catholicism with their Indian traditions. So really, this is the dilemma. And this morning, I'm actually going to ask you three questions. Are you ready? The first question, what do you believe? This is my first question to you this morning. What do you believe? Because I know that these people up there in northern Canada and their Catholicism, they believe Catholicism plus a little bit of Indian tradition, plus a little bit of ancestor worship, plus a little bit of, you know, everything's a spirit and everything, the great one and all this. And in the end of the day, they don't really know what they believe. Hallelujah. And I'm asking you the same thing. You know, does everybody know the news this week about Pope Francis, what he did? Most don't know. He added to the Mass, praise God, and he added just a few words to the Mass, just five, but it was after he includes Mary, he says then, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse. So now we've got a little addendum. Now, 100 years from now, what are people going to now interpret from that addendum? You hear what I'm saying? Now, 100 years from now, or maybe tomorrow, people are still going to wonder, what do they really believe? Is Jesus enough, or do I have to add this one and that one? Is Jesus enough, or do I have to knock on one and cross my fingers as well? Is Jesus enough, or do I have to feel lucky? I always remind people luck comes from the word Lucifer, and it actually doesn't exist. You cannot explain to me what luck is. Now, I'm a betting man. I don't care what your name is. I bet you $100 you could not come up to me and define the word luck. $100. I'll give you 2-1. They will go, oh, he's talking about gambling in the church. No, I'm talking about, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is enough to bring you to the Father? Or is there something on top of that that you have to do? Is there some little sauce that you have to add to taste and see that the Lord is good? Or is Jesus enough? What do you believe? What do you actually believe? Do you believe maybe what your grandmother taught to you? Or what your grandfather said about when the robins come back, then we know that spring has started. Now, of course, Jesus taught about we know the signs and we know the seasons, and we should be able to know those kind of things. But my question's very simple. What do you believe? And I want to take a minute this morning to actually read to you something that most of us are well acquainted with. It's called the Apostles' Creed. Is everybody aware of have heard of the Apostles' Creed? Now, I obviously couldn't quote it, so therefore I'm going to read it. And this is what it says. Of course, there's many different versions, but it's basically the same. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, do you believe that? Or do you believe a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Darwinism? Or do you believe a little bit of Jesus and a whole lot of Big Bang Theory? Now, come on, folks. We need to nail this puppy. Because if you believe in Darwinism, then you don't know what you believe. If you believe in the Big Bang Theory, then you don't know what you believe. You have now got your belief and you've added to it. Oh, and Saint Joseph, her spouse. And as soon as we keep adding a little saint this and saint that, even if it was saint grandmother or saint granddad or saint wives' tale, come on, folks, are you getting mad yet? Then you're going to begin to water down. What do you really believe? What do you really believe? Is Jesus enough? Is Jesus enough? Or do we have to add our own little bit of personal theology in with it? What do you believe? If you don't believe God is the creator of heaven and earth, then you've been persuaded by humanism. You've been persuaded by science. You've been persuaded by all these things that have not been proved, because that's why it's called theory. And the bottom line is you have to make a decision between theory and truth, because the theory will never set you free. Okay. Let me do it again. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. Now, let's just make sure everybody understands that. The reason why Jesus had to be born of a virgin is because he was born by the Holy Spirit and not by man. Therefore, he did not have a sinful nature. From Adam to Jesus, everybody was born with a sinful nature, which is why they're called the terrific twos. All right, let's move on. And so, just even hint of what I just said, and everybody freaks out. But you must be born again. You must be born. You cannot be born a Christian. You can be born a Jew, you can be born a Hindu, you can be born a Buddhist, you can be born a Muslim. In fact, I remember when I was at the Western Wall once, and I was talking to a Jewish guy, and I just said to him, "Your children Jewish?" He looked at me like I'm crazy. He says, "Of course they are." I said, "Well, I just want to tell you, my kids aren't Christian." "Well, why aren't they Christian?" I said, "You can't be born a Christian. You have to be born again." And this is very difficult for people when it comes to their own children, because what happens is instead of training up a child in the way they should go, we let the teachers do it, and they actually respect the teachers more than you. You didn't hear what was said this morning? She didn't actually just say, "Oh, they obey teachers better than they obey their parents." She said, "They respect their teachers better than they respect their parents." You know why? Their teachers are teaching them. Their parents are just telling them, "Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that," and are not giving them parameters. Come on, folks, get mad if you like. I don't mind. I'm leaving for Arizona on Tuesday. Hallelujah. But I want you to hear these things, because it's important. If you don't grasp these things, you'll wonder when your child gets to a certain age, they don't believe. You know why they don't believe what you don't believe? Is you don't know what you believe. Are we mad yet? I'm working on it. Help me, somebody. You see, your children won't serve a living God if they don't know who and how to believe in him. And they're not going to get that from the teacher, so they're going to have to get it from you. And if you don't know what you believe, then how can you teach what you don't know? Which is why I don't teach guitar. I was watching Gianna this morning. I'm thinking, have I seen that guitar before, Gianna? It's a newer one, right? Yeah. And I'm watching her play the guitar. I think, she can play anything. Just bugs me. Just annoy. I'm sitting there, standing there, supposed to be worshiping God, getting mad at Gianna because she's so gifted. Just annoying. But how many people are teaching people to play guitar or piano, and they got boxing gloves on? You see, because that is what a lot of us people are doing, training our kids. We're training our kids, but we don't know what we believe. So what are you training your kids in? You're training your kids in how to play a guitar with boxing gloves on. It ain't very successful. Now that I can do. Are you with me? Do you know why I said this the other week? Help me. I said this the other week. You're too busy praying for your children instead of training them. What are you praying for? You're praying for something supernatural to happen instead of teaching them what you believe. All right. Here we go. Born of a Virgin Mary, so he was sinless, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. Very important for you to understand Jesus died, because some religions, they preach that he just passed out on the cross, and when they took him down, they revived him. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church. Now remember the Catholic Church. We're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church. We're talking about the Catholic Church. We are all members of the Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. So we're all Catholics, okay? Not Greek Catholics. All right, Catholics. The communion of saints. That's one that most Christians actually don't believe. They don't. They come to church, but they don't commune. They don't commune with saints. They only socialize with saints, but they don't commune. Koinonia means a partaker, means being a partaker, like we're a partaker of his divine nature, having this communion. Most of us have got no communion with one another. Sunday. The forgiveness of sins, the resurrection body, and life everlasting. So my question is, do you believe that? If you believe that, then you do well. However, I'm now going to read you a scripture. It says, I'll tell you where it is in a minute. I'll read it first. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe. Everybody get that? So even after you figured out what you believe, which most of us haven't, right? Well, you've done well, but even the demons believe and tremble. So I want you to realize that it doesn't matter what you believe, believing as a final reality is not enough. Let's carry on. But do you want to know, oh foolish man, are you calling me foolish? That faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, to the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? For by works, faith was made perfect. Now, you will go to heaven by believing Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But your earthly walk will be fruitless. Come on, folks. Your earthly walk will be fruitless. Faith, the Bible says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without good works is dead. Not dead works, not what your grandma taught you, not knocking on wood, not, well, I've been good, I pay my taxes. No, 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 we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that, dead works. Dead works do not bring salvation. No works bring salvation. We are saved by grace through faith, not of our own works, lest any man could boast. But I'm talking about you guys look pretty, most of you anyway, look pretty much alive this morning. I just insulted some of you, but you just pick and choose which one I was talking to. So I'm saying this is if you in this life want to actually fulfill your dreams and what you want to do, and if you want to, like Pastor Josh has already said, have a debt-free life, you show me a debt-free person, and I'll show you a person that didn't just believe. This morning, I spoke to a young lady. I don't know what it felt like. She hit me between the eyes with what she said. And she's talking about she lives in a small place and she has to move to a bigger place. And she said, I realized I had to put some footwork with the paperwork. And I thought, whoa, I think I want to preach that this morning. Some footwork with the paperwork. You see, as Christians, we've got the paperwork. We understand what the paperwork is, but the paperwork without the footwork, you don't get to move into where you want to move into. What do you want to move into in life? Are you content with life as it is right now in your situation? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I would love to ask you, how many of you are totally debt-free? Don't show me hands. How many of you are totally debt-free? Or know for a fact, because of the plan, not just what you believe, the plan, you will be debt-free by the time you're 50, 55 at the latest. And somewhere, you've got to put footwork to the paperwork. And if you don't put footwork to the paperwork, I don't care how much paperwork you've done and how much you believe, without the footwork, it ain't going to happen. I'll give you one or two examples. Stretch out your hand. Pick up your bed. Go dip. Go look 7 times. Pastor Josh has already mentioned this morning. Who touched me? See, that's the footwork to the paperwork. Without the footwork, you're not going to make it. You're not going to have friends. You're not going to have a good marriage. You're definitely not going to have good kids. You're not going to get out of debt. You're not going to be actually useful to God. You're not going to have a ministry. You're not going to have a fulfilled life that Jesus Christ has promised you that you believe, but believing it won't do it until you have footwork to the paperwork. We okay? Praise God. I told the story before, but it's the only one I can think of this morning. Little Cindy, I don't know what her name was. She actually came here once, the co-labors conference. Her and her husband are just really great people. But I'll give you an idea. She's not very big because when we flew to Africa together, her feet didn't touch the ground. Anyway, she's a little lady from... So... Same old thing. She wanted to go to Africa, been wanting to go for years in the worst way. The money wasn't coming in. So what did she do? She began to pack. You see, she put some footwork to her paperwork. The Bible said, go into all the world and preach. The Bible says, my God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ. The Bible said it, but until she put her footwork to the paperwork and started packing things in the suitcase, then nothing happened. While I was down there in Florida with Paco, he has a Honda Pilot. Now, I've never been one to... I've got this little thing. You know, one day somebody's coming up to me and say, Vaughn, I'll buy you any vehicle you want. And if they'd have done that today, I'd have gone, I don't know. Well, today I'm okay. But if they'd done it last week, I wouldn't know what to say. Now I do. It's called a Honda Pilot. It's the first time I got in a car and went, this is nice. And then I said... How many miles to gallons to do? That was, you know, an issue in my thinking, am I? So what did I do yesterday? While Wendy and I were going to buy a tree, we went past Honda. So, drive in. So what do you think of these Honda Pilots, Wen? Oh, I like the color of that one. Yeah, so do I. What about that one? No, don't like black. Okay. You see, we're beginning to put a little bit of footwork to our paperwork. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? You see, I may not get a Honda Pilot for another few years. But the point is, I'm beginning to do something that produces the footwork, and that is this. Question one, what do you believe? Question two, what are you saying? What are you saying? How many of you have got this common verbiage in your mouth when your children ask for it? Oh, we can't afford it. Can't afford it. My God's a cheapskate, so he can't get you a bike. My God's tight-fisted, so you can't go on vacation. That's what you're saying. That's what you're actually saying in the face of God. That's what you're saying. Because somewhere along the line, you made a decision only to believe and not put any footwork to your paperwork. So the reality is please don't come to us with your excuses about what you... It's no good having a plan for financial freedom if your feet are in concrete. We all know what the next step of that is. We're New Yorkers. Anyway, if you're not sure what I'm talking about, ask Tony and Rich Caliendo afterwards. They're both Italians from Brooklyn. Anyway, what are you saying? What are you saying? Every time I ask somebody, you know, you want to come on a mission trip? First thing comes out of their mouth is money. Think, what are you thinking? How can God put his feet to your belief if you are cutting him off with your tongue? How can he do it? God has commissioned blessings to us. He's commissioned angels to us. He's commissioned the blood of Jesus Christ to us. And we're saying what he can't do. What are you saying? You've got to remember when Jesus first started talking to the guys, when he started wanting to get serious now, it played all the games, healing people and walking and all that stuff. He'd done all the games. Faith does not come by miracles. Come on, now let's start a real fight. Faith does not come by miracles. If it did, how come all the children of Israel, except Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness? If faith came by miracles. Right? Every single one of them went, whoa! I mean, I've been to the Red Sea. And we're doing, whoa! I mean, that wasn't invented by Cecil B. DeMille, hallelujah. That was a reality. Not only was it a reality, they walked on dry ground. Figure that one out. They saw that. They saw the water come out of a rock. Okay. Woo-hoo. And it wasn't a trickle because it was enough to feed a couple of million people to drink. That's a lot of water. That puppy was coming out there like Niagara Falls, hallelujah. Right? And did it produce faith? Not a bit. Not a bit. They were all grasshoppers in their own sight. Come on, folks. They were all grasshoppers in their own sight. Why? Because they... big people. Don't be afraid of big people. Anyway. Hallelujah. So I want you to understand this. The children of Israel actually didn't know how to believe. They were introduced to God miraculously, and they were also introduced to God this way. Moses, come up the mountain. If anybody else comes with you, stick an arrow in them. All right, so we understand the children of Israel didn't exactly understand that the love of Christ, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But we understand that. We understand that. Now, so yesterday we planted a tree. And if you ever, you know, it's where I live is pretty sandy, but after the first couple of few inches, clunk, you know, you're hitting some stuff, clunk. And I'm thinking, clunk. And eventually you break through and you dig it and you work it and you get it and you get the rocks out. Wendy and I are having a lot of fun actually planting trees. Now, obviously, while I'm doing it, what am I thinking of? The parable of the sower. Now, the parable of the sower, it starts by saying some fell by the wayside. And then what happens? The birds come immediately. Now, do you realize, as a pastor, I know I've been preaching for 34 years. I know that some of you will walk out of here, and if I see you tonight and say, what did I preach this morning? You'll go, oh, it was good. What did I preach this morning? Then I know the birds have got it. The birds. Birds are stupid, man. I was down near the beach in Florida, and I'm sitting there. All I'm thinking, Where's my 22 when I want it? And X sat with me, Xavier, my son-in-law, and he says, yeah, may not go down too popular. I said, yeah, but if I wanted to start a redneck church, it would. So that's a good point. So we're summing up, do I want to start a redneck church? And anyway, it's not the point. And then I saw another one, them crackle things or whatever they're called, nasty little, yeah, sharp beaks and skinny things. And there was a drum, a garbage drum, and it comes down and lands on it and goes, wah! Hops it, wah! Hops it, wah! Hops it, wah! Hops it, up. In or out, make your mind up, man. For God's sake, stop hopping around looking. That's what the church is like. They're hopping around. They're neither in or out. Hallelujah. Wah! Let's have a look. Wah! Does it look better from here? Wah! No, can't get it from here either. Wah! And then another couple come down on this bag of bread. And what are they doing? Wah! I said, for God's sake, stop fighting and eat it. Stupid things. And anyway, there's some that fall among, you know, the rocks. But rocks are removable. Rocks are removable. But the next one is the one I'm interested in. Some fell among thorns. And when Jesus interpreted that out of Mark 4, he said, but the cares of this life choke the word of God. The cares of this life are your biggest enemy in life. So, oh my God, I can't, the bills are terrible. Oh, my kids are just so disobedient. Oh. Well, I want to tell you something. We actually do have, through teaching, the answer to those things. But you have to make a decision whether you want to eat it or not. Or whether you're going to just continue. You're too busy fighting over things you don't know what you believe. Come on, guys, this is this. Or jumping around the can, whether you're in or out. And all the time, the devil's having a field day. Because he believes what you believe. And he's doing everything he can to stop you from putting footwork to the paperwork. And so the reality is, until we begin to literally be a partaker by stepping into it, to actually taking a step of faith. Are we all right? Is this a bit obvious? Or I heard Pastor Josh say something this morning, and I like the way he said it because it's not his natural personality. When he started talking about faith, and he started talking about determined, aggressive, pressing in. Now, we got three pregnant ladies here this morning, and Micah's up next, right? Right, Micah's up next. Now, I don't know much about having babies. In fact, I could write everything I know on the back of a postage stamp with a paintbrush. Now, that nearly made me laugh. So, but I just encourage you that you will not have that baby without some determination, some aggression, some pressing in. You understand what I'm saying? That's how the babies come. How do you think faith comes? Sorry, how do you think faith comes? It comes by conceiving a seed. That's how sin comes, by conceiving a seed. And so this is why I'm just keen to tell everybody. But the thing that chokes it is the cares of this life. Cares of this life. Have you really, how many of you in financial trouble yet you won't? You know, I know a couple of good people who are very good with finances. One in particular is me. I just gave somebody some advice recently. They want to change their life. I said, okay, listen. I said, listen. No more KVD. Are you listening? It's all Brown bagging from here on in. No more Kings Valley Diner. You can't afford it, so stop it. You see, when I was pressing in, we never went to Kings Valley Diner. When we were determined, we never went to King. We didn't even go to McDonald's, hallelujah. Because we wanted to make what we wanted to put some footwork to the paperwork. And if you are mindful, you know there's some very basic things here now. There's a lot of movement going on. This is a classic. Let's steal this word. Let's let the bird. I can hear them. Ah! Sitting up there on the lights, just waiting, saying, there's somebody who ain't listening. I'll swipe that seed before they get a bagel in their gob. It's true. Question one, what do you believe? Question two, what are you saying? Question three, what are you doing? Not very hard questions. Until you do it, until you actually do it, until you actually step out of your depression, until you step out of your financial pressure, until you step out of your miserable relationships, until you step out of them, you're going to stay in them. They won't get better. Hallelujah. Nothing gets better without seed. Nothing gets better without watering. Nothing gets better. Nothing. You have a lousy marriage, it's going to stay lousy. It's even going to escalate. It's going to get worse, I promise you. Because you are not doing the right things. What do you believe marriage should be like? What do you believe your children should be like? What do you believe? Then, what are you saying about your marriage? Oh, I'm sick to death of my husband. Oh, I got the address of a good lawyer if you want one. I'm fed up with listening to her nag me all day. Oh, how's your tongue doing? All right, because you just wrapped it around your neck three times and killed yourself. I don't care what you believe. If you are saying contrary to the promise of God, you are killing yourself. It's suicidal. And then if you are actually not putting the footwork to the paperwork, nothing's going to change. Your debts won't change. Your life won't change. Your relationships won't change. You've been through a divorce. I feel for people who have been through divorce. But I want to tell you something. You're heading into another one. Because you haven't yet changed what needed to be changed. You believe it'll change. But that's not what you're saying. And it ain't what you're doing. Are we doing okay? I know you. I mean, I didn't come up here just to tell you about my new grandson. Although he's real cute, man, I tell you. I was down in Tampa. It's a new church there that Dr. Leon has encouraged Paco to work, and his wife is awesome. She's a great lady. And so Dr. Leon was there to preach on the Sunday. There was about 65 people there. On Monday, we did a leadership meeting, and there was only about 22 people there. But that's not bad. If we did a Monday night meeting, we wouldn't probably get too many more. Well, a few more. And then on the Tuesday, I prayed for everybody who didn't speak in tongues, which was 15 of the 28 people that were there, which is a lot, right? It's more than half. But I was so thankful because they've been wanting to speak in tongues for years. In fact, one of the guys there, his name was Naftali, or Naftali, seems to go up at the end. It was nice. He's been wanting to speak in tongues for years. No footwork. He believes everybody should speak in tongues. And these signs will follow those who believe. Watch this. For you, you're listening on the tongue, I've got my mouth shut. How did I just say that? I'm not sure. Just listen. I prayed for thousands, tens of thousands of people to speak in tongues. And I've got a 97, 98% success rate, except these. They won't open their mouth. And if you don't open your mouth, you will not be out of debt. If you don't put footwork to your paperwork, you're not going to change your life. You're not. The scripture says we need to take heed to the word we heard, lest we drift away. Remember, you will drift away. You will never drift towards God. Never, never, never drift towards God. I don't care what you believe. You will drift away from God unless you put your mouth in operation and your feet in operation. So anyway, I'm pretty much going to tie it up. Let's see if there's a couple of things I want to say before we... You know, response is a powerful thing. And this is why I'd encourage you, when we Bert and Pam Singer, they were such great people in Jerusalem. They had a theme tune that every time they ever started, they'd sing that. Come bless the Lord. Does anybody know that song? Oh, ye servants of the Lord. I think it's Psalm 122. Who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. While you're sitting, singing about standing. There's no way would I ever sing that sitting down. No way. Even if I had to get one of my sons, son, my knees are killing me. Pull me up. It's the beginning of putting footwork to the paperwork. Is doing exactly what you're singing. It's the beginning. It's the easiest way. I'm so glad Jesus set me free, but right now I'm still in my misery. I'm so glad. Anyway, I'm telling you. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. But right now, I would rather have the Kool-Aid, drink the Kool-Aid. Now, that was funny, considering it came straight out. That was a 1978 joke. If you're jonesing for Kool-Aid... That was too long a pause. Jonesing for Kool-Aid. Wow. But I want to tell you something, guys. If you're not doing what you're saying, if you're not doing what you're singing, you're training yourself to be disobedient. Come on, everybody look at me. If you're not doing what you're singing, now I understand that it's not easy for you to stand up. I appreciate that. But if you're not doing what you're singing, you're training yourself to be disobedient. So let's get it right. What do you believe? What are you saying? And what are you doing? We'll begin to get you out of whatever difficulty you're in and whatever situation is holding you back. Amen? Okay. If anybody wants a fight, I'll get a couple of my sons down later and we'll do that. Hallelujah. So I want to thank God for each and every one of you. I want to please keep in prayer for Paco down there, play Don Fisher in Canada, for Alice, Abraham, Chris, Jared, Tim, Gentry and Mariah, all these people from our church in India. Jeremy's coming back from Canada tomorrow. We're looking forward to seeing him. Xavier's coming back from Tampa tomorrow. See, this is because they're putting feet to their paperwork. Amen.